Evening, Millie. I'm speaking with Millie Klicka, and it's a lovely evening on May 9th, 1985. We've just had a nice dinner together, and Millie has very graciously consented to let me interview her for the New Hope Historical Society. It's a great pleasure to have you here tonight, Millie. Thank you for coming.
Thank you, Rita.
Millie, I'd like to first ask you, just how far back can you remember? What's your first memory?
I was born in 1925, and I can remember back to when I was 4 years old.
Wow.
My parents had a large dairy farm, and I remember Accretown Road was a dirt road in those days. And on Sunday, when we went to church, I can remember this very vividly, we went on a horse and buggy to St. Martin's in New Hope. And while we went to church to attend Mass, there was a place to tie the horse. And it wasn't until about 1930 that my parents bought their first car. But up to that time, to go shopping or to go anywhere, we had the horse and buggy.
How did you ever get up that hill at St. Martin's? I often wondered about that.
Yeah, I don't remember it being a problem except when we had heavy snowstorms.
Right.
And the drifts would be high. Then we would have trouble getting to church. Mm-hmm. But I remember that was the weekly trip on the horse and buggy.
That must have been great excitement.
Yes,
to get
was.
Into town.
Yes, it was. And even today, when I go to St. Martin's, I can remember where the little barn was where we used to tie the horse. It's not there anymore, but I remember where it used to stand.
Mm-hmm. Was there a place to tie up all the horses and buggies for all the people who went to
Mass?
Well,
there weren't that many that came out
of
our way from town. Most of them were in town. But we had 5 miles to go.
Right. Were you born in the little house on...
Yes, I was.
Now, was that the way it is today? Is that the way it looked when you were born?
The original stone part was the original farmhouse where I was born. And that was one reason they didn't knock it down.
Oh.
Rather than knock it down, they remodeled it, restored it.
Mm-hmm.
In those days, the doctor came to the house to make the delivery. And I remember my mother had a nurse came in for 7 days every day to take care of her and take care of me.
Oh.
And Dr. Leiby, who was in New Hope, was the doctor.
He's still in practice?
No, he's retired.
Oh, I see.
But he was the doctor that delivered me.
Oh, my goodness, he must have been a young man.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
The closest hospital in those days was Abington.
Oh, that's really
a
distance.
Oh, yeah, that was the only hospital, it was the closest hospital to us.
Must have been a good hour's trip, or more.
Well, I think the only way you got there is if, they thought you were going to die.
Mm-hmm.
Other than that, people just didn't go to hospital like they do today.
Yes. Mm.
And going back to the Abington Hospital, every year they would solicit funds. And I distinctly remember my dad always contributed because he said someday we might need to go to that hospital. Because the Doylestown Hospital didn't have one until about 1937.
My goodness.
And that was a big house in Doylestown, which became a hospital before they built the big one.
That must have been very frightening for a young family. But of course, I guess that was just the way things were done.
Right,
period.
Right. And of course, in those days, if there was illness in the house, the doctor came to the house.
Yes.
Now today, if there's any kind of an emergency, you go to the hospital.
Right.
The doctor doesn't come to the house anymore.
Mm-hmm. The house is really very interesting, and it's in a beautiful spot. Did your parents own that place for many years?
Well, they came here in 1918.
Oh, they did?
Yeah, they were in Philadelphia.
Mm-hmm.
And my older sister had infantile paralysis. And the doctor recommended they come out in the country. So that's why my dad came out and bought the farm back in 1918.
I remember seeing the original bill of sale on that property.
The deed.
The deed, yes. And I think it was to Eliza Witherspoon.
Yeah.
Was that right?
I think that dated back to 1848.
1848, and it was on a real honest to goodness sheepskin.
Right, right. Mm-hmm.
I remember your son Vince showing me that some time ago. So then you went to school first at Solbury?
No, I went to school right there on a corner called School Days.
Really?
Intersection of Green Hill and Accreton Road.
Oh, that little white place.
I went there for 6 years.
Oh, for goodness sake.
That was a one-room schoolhouse.
That was just half a block walk?
Always to come home for recess. Recess in those days was 10 minutes, and I had time to come home and get a snack and go back. Then when they closed that school, they closed all the small school, one-room schoolhouses, I went to Solbury.
Well, tell me about the one-room schoolhouse. That must have been...
We had 8 grades.
Did you?
And I remember when I was in first grade, there were 3 of us in first grade.
Do you remember who else was in first grade with
you? Oh, yes, sure.
Do you?
There were 2 other boys and myself.
Do you remember who they were?
Oh, yeah. One lives in the neighborhood. One lives in the neighborhood.
That interruption is John, Millie's grandson. Okay. And what was his name now?
Waldo Maximuck. He lives on Long Lane, about a mile and a half from here.
Mm-hmm.
So there were
Tell me the name again now, Maximuck?
Waldo Maximuck.
Maximuck.
Yeah.
Walter Maximuck. Mm-hmm. And the other person's name?
Was Walter Cook.
Walter Cook.
And he's out of the state. I don't know exactly where he's living now.
And they went to the Little Happy Days school in the first grade with you.
Right.
What was it like? Did you have just one teacher for the 8th grade?
One teacher, Mrs. Buckley.
Oh.
And she taught 8 grades.
My goodness. That must have been exciting. excuse me just a minute. I think we're going to have to break here for a second. Okay, we're back on again now, Millie. And Vince is having his dinner. I think we were talking about having one school teacher for all those students. How many students were there altogether?
Well, the total of the 8 grades, I would say there were about 30 altogether.
Well, that was quite a surprise.
But I remember in my class we only had 3.
Mm-hmm.
And what would happen, the youngsters in the older grades would help with the younger grades.
I see.
Because I can distinctly remember reading to the first graders, when I got to be like in 4th or 5th grade.
Oh, that must have been very good for you.
It was very nice, and incidentally, we did have the outside toilets at that time.
Really?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And we had a big boiler to heat the school, and it was my father's job to go up and start the boiler on early Monday morning, and it ran until Friday.
Goodness
sake. It was a coal boiler.
And there was no such thing as a pot-bellied stove?
No.
And no braids in the inkwells and that sort of thing?
No.
I remember in school when they used to dunk your braids in the inkwells. The mischievous little boys behind used to dunk your braids in the inkwells.
Mm-hmm.
That was when we had pens with, there were no such thing as ballpoint pens.
No, you had straight pens.
Just straight pens.
Yeah.
Did you have those?
Yes, we did, but I don't recall them having ink in them. That was probably why they didn't, because of the...
Did you have the little ink wells in the desk?
In the desk, right.
Mm-hmm.
So then when I came to 7th grade, like I said, they closed the one-room schoolhouses.
Yes.
And then we were consolidated, and everyone was bused to Solbury.
Oh, my.
And
was that over on Sugan?
The one on Sugan Road.
I see.
And then I went there for 2 years. And then for high school, they bused us to New Hope. So I went to New Hope for 4 years.
And you graduated in the class of?
1943.
Oh, my goodness.
From New Hope.
For goodness sake.
In 1939, my class was the last one to graduate from 8th grade. That was in 1939.
Mm-hmm.
Then after that, you had to go 12 years to graduate. They had no longer the 8th grade graduation. At that time, I had figured out after so many years there wouldn't be any more school buses necessary. Because I had figured out that the youngsters would all grow up and there wouldn't be any more children.
You had that figured out?
I had it all figured out, and then today I have grandchildren going there. But I remember the teachers teasing me about that, so you weren't going to be any more school buses, right?
Right.
I didn't realize the population was going to continue.
Tell me, this was really just a farming community then for the most part, wasn't it?
All farming.
Yes.
Yes, all farming.
But it sort of became also an artist community as well. How did that happen? Do you have any idea? Do you remember?
Well, that was more so in New Hope.
Down in New Hope?
The town of New Hope itself.
Mm-hmm.
That became the artist colony.
But on the periphery of the city, that is in the outlying district. It was just farming.
What
was it mostly farming? Dairy farms?
Dairy farming.
There was no, not much as far as growing corn or wheat or
anything. No, mostly dairy farmers. And we had milk trucks that came by every morning to pick up milk.
I see.
We had the Abbott's Dairies, we had the Greniger Dairies, and then there was one other one. But every morning they would come by about 6:30 in the morning to pick up the milk.
How many acres did you have at that time?
We had 35.
35. And how large a herd did you have?
We had approximately 30 dairy cows and about 10 young heifers.
I see. Did you have to help
yes,
as far as milking was concerned?
Well, my day started at 4 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, wonderful. Really?
4 o'clock in the morning, and my job was to get the cows into the barn and feed them the feed. And then this is before we had milking machines.
Mm-hmm.
Then you had to wash up, and then, you know, they would milk the cows, and then it was my job to cool the milk. And I had to stir the milk to cool it before we could ship it on the truck. It had to be cool.
For heaven's sake, why was that? Why did they?
Because of the bacteria.
How would you cool it in the summertime then?
We had to cool it in cold water, very cold water.
How did you
then eventually, later on, we got electric coolers.
Oh,
we put the cans of milk into the cooler and then it cooled automatically.
Oh, I see.
But before
that, would you just run cold water?
You had to have the cold water in troughs, and the milk was in buckets, and you actually sat there and stirred it for the milk to cool. You know, you could see it cooling as you were stirring it.
Mm-hmm.
But it had to do that, otherwise it would be spoiled when it would be shipped in the truck.
Oh, for goodness
because
sake.
Of the bacteria.
Of course. And I imagine the bacteria would multiply very rapidly.
Oh yes, it would turn sour.
Yes, I noticed too when I was in a dairy at about that time that there were lots of flies.
Oh yes,
and that's you know how they spread.
Well, we had inspectors come once
mm-hmm.
a month from the dairy,
mm-hmm.
and everything we had to be. Make sure there were no flies, and everything had to be very, very clean.
Right.
They were very particular.
Good. And did you eventually have to milk the cows yourself? Did you ever have to do that?
Oh, really? Yes, indeed.
Did you?
Yes,
oh,
indeed.
My goodness.
Yes. Oh, yeah. There were, at that time, I had a sister and a brother. There were three of us. And my dad, and we would go out in the barn, and we would milk the cows. And
everybody had something to do.
Before I went to school, I think I did a half a day's work.
What time did you have to be at school?
Well, when it was the one-room schoolhouse, that was at 8:30.
Oh, my goodness.
But then when I had to catch the bus, that was like at 7:30.
That's amazing.
Mm-hmm. But our working day started at 4 o'clock in the morning.
Unbelievable. When I think of children today who have such a hard time rolling out, you know, they have such an easy time of it. It really... I remember the story about the young boy who had followed his grandfather around the farm all day, and he'd been raised in the city, and he said finally at the end of the day, how did you ever happen to be a farmer in The grandfather said, just lucky, I guess.
Well,
so it's something that he enjoyed doing, you know.
You know, they have, people have said that farming is the happiest of all professions,
mm-hmm.
and I have to agree with them.
It's
very satisfying.
Very satisfying.
You plant the grain, it comes up, you watch it grow, then it grows to a point where you harvest it. And you are constantly, you're working with nature. And to me that's very, very satisfying because you can see in front of you nature working.
It must give you great personal satisfaction.
Yes, it does. It's hard work, but it's very satisfying.
And how about the inside? You had to work inside the house as well, didn't you?
Well, of course, yes, we did. And on Sundays, we did not work on Sundays. The only thing we did on Sundays was feed the animals and milk the cows. Other than that, we did nothing. It was family day. And that's when the girls would do the cooking. We had to make Sunday dinner. That's how we learned how to cook. That was Mom's day off.
Oh, very nice.
Yeah.
And what was it, just your immediate family in the neighborhood, or what, did you have relatives around?
In the summertime, most of the relatives and friends would come out from the city of Philadelphia.
I see.
So during the summer, on Sundays, we used to have a lot of company. Mm-hmm. I can well remember that, because my poor mother used to be cooking, you know, because we were having all this company.
Right.
But the people enjoyed coming out in the country in the summertime.
How about your neighbors in this New Hope area? Were they congenial? Were they helpful? How did you feel that you were isolated and alone?
No.
Or were people nice?
The people were very, very friendly. No one ever locked a door. We didn't even have a key to our door. If one neighbor needed help, then the other neighbors would pitch in and help. Or if, say, the neighbor was ill and couldn't do his farm work, then the neighbors would pitch in and do it for him.
That's
the way it used to be.
That's the way they helped each
mm-hmm.
other.
They helped each other.
It's really too bad to see some of that spirit going out of the American scene, isn't it?
No, yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Most of your neighbors, were they Catholic or Quakers or what? Was there any one particular faith that settled in this area?
No, it was really a mixture.
It was?
Mostly a mixture, yes.
I noticed that so many of the Quaker people who belong to the meeting house up there, really seem to belong to the old stone houses, but yet you had this one. The people that owned your house, were they Quakers? The one that you bought?
Yes, they were.
Mm-hmm. Right. So then you grew up in that wonderful atmosphere, and it was really hard work, and yet it was a lot of satisfaction.
I wouldn't trade it. I really wouldn't.
I think that's wonderful.
Yeah, it was wholesome living. I mean, it was, everything about it was really wholesome. And when we grew up and went out into the business world, it was a big adjustment, because we were brought up that everything's nice, everybody's nice, and everything is great. But when you get out in the business world, you find a few people that aren't just that great.
Yeah, that's true. But your association really has been, for the most part, in this community. And I'm just wondering if you still see some of the people that were in school with you. And if you can remember, if you can recall, some of the people that were in your graduating class.
Oh, yes. For instance, Laura Slack, who works at the, worked at the New Hope Bank for at least 30 years. We were classmates. Now, of course, it's been taken over by Continental Bank, and she's working at Fort Washington.
I see.
But we are still friends, and we still exchange birthday cards and Christmas cards.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you ever went to the New Hope Bank.
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm. A girl by the name of Laura Slack, her and I have been classmates.
And anyone else still in the community?
Most of them have moved out of the community.
Mm-hmm.
But every year I do go to the alumni banquet.
And where, oh, you do?
Yes.
Where is that held?
Well, this year they're having it over in Doylestown, but before they had it at the firehouse. And before that, we used to have it at the gym at the school.
And is it just one class, or is it several classes?
All the classes that ever graduate from the school.
Oh my goodness, yeah. That's wonderful.
But I'm going to miss it this year because it's on the same day as our daughter's getting married.
Oh.
June the 15th.
Do you see, when you go to the alumni banquet, do you see familiar faces from when you went to school? Do you see them now, so many years later?
Yes, I do, yes.
Great. So then you graduated from high school here, and you met your husband, your first husband.
I graduated in 1943, and I had full intentions of going to college. In fact, I won a scholarship to Westchester State Teachers College. But my mother decided that I shouldn't go on to college. She did not want me to be a teacher. That was my only ambition in life, to be a teacher.
Oh. That's really
so then, when I wasn't able to do that, well, then I went to the secretarial field.
Mm-hmm.
And my last year in high school, I took up shorthand because I hadn't had shorthand before that. Because then I realized I better take something so that I can be a secretary.
Have you ever been sorry that you didn't pursue a teacher?
Very much. Because I truly would have enjoyed it.
You're so good with little children. You're just a natural with them. Did you want to teach grade school?
I wanted to teach, say, about the third or fourth grade.
I see. Well, those were always not choices available to us in those days, were they?
No.
Our careers were sort of settled by our parents in Maine.
Very much so. Yes. If I would have been a boy, I know I would have gone on to college.
Tell me about your father. Was he very much in command in your household then?
He was the head of the house.
Yes.
Yes. And all he had to do was look at us, and that was it. You know, he got the respect.
I remember it well. What is your ethnic background?
We're Czechoslovakian.
I'm amused because my background is Luxembourg, and this is exactly how my father was. He was very much in command. And it was, in a way, it gave us a great deal of comfort because we always knew exactly where we stood, and there was no testing anything.
Right.
And, you know, Papa was in charge.
Right.
And that's the way it was. And sometimes it was very hard on Mama.
Yes, I'll go along with that.
Right. So, tell me about meeting your husband.
Well, after I got out of high school, I went to work for the rationing board, because it was during the war. And they had an office in Doylestown. It was called the Office of Price Administration, OPA, if you remember.
Mm-hmm.
And I was given the job of distributing the stamps for the tires and for the gas,
mm-hmm.
because gas was rationed. And of course, meat was rationed, sugar, butter. I think you'll recall that.
Yes, and people got stamps so that they could have just so much of everything.
They had to apply, and then it was processed, and then it was decided how many stamps they should get.
Mm-hmm.
Well, like I say, this was my first job out in the public. And when I would hand out the gasoline stamps, some of the people would get very irate, and they would use some even obscene language.
Mm-hmm.
And they would accuse me of stealing the stamps out of their books.
Oh, really?
And I was not accustomed to any accusations like that. And I stayed in that job for 3 months because it was too upsetting. Because when people would accuse me of something, it was very upsetting to me.
Because
it wasn't true. So then from there, I went to work for the Naval Air Development Center. That was the Navy.
Where?
Naval Air Development Center.
Oh, Naval Air Development Center.
In Johnsville.
Mm-hmm.
And I took a job there. I had to take a civil service examination. And I worked there. I met my husband. He worked in the supply department, and I worked in the office. I used to get the coffee for everybody that worked in that area, including his. And Next thing I know, he took an interest in me. And then he went away to the Navy. He went in the service. Then he started to write to me. And during the war, we wrote back and forth. And after the war, when he got to San Francisco, he called me up and said he was headed home. And when he came back east, he came to my house, and we were married 5 months later.
Oh, what a lovely romance.
Yeah, he's originally from Bridgeport, Pennsylvania.
I see.
But we did meet at work. Mm-hmm. And,
You know, I realized that I neglected to ask you your family name. Your family name.
Oh, Randa.
Randa?
Randa.
And then
yes.
you met Mr. Clicker. What was his first name?
Vince.
Oh, Vince Clicker.
Vince Clicker, right. And at the time we were married, it was right after the war.
Mm-hmm.
There were no homes available to buy. Rentals were almost impossible. So we decided to build our house, and we bought an acre from my parents, and we built on the edge of the farm property.
Is that the house that's close to the road?
Yes, the brick house.
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm. So we had that built, and when we were married, it wasn't quite finished. I think it took about 3 more months before we could move in.
I see.
And we were very, very happy. We had 3 lovely children, and after we had 2 children, my husband became very sick, and he was not working. He became a diabetic, so then I went to work, and I went back to the Naval Air Development Center, and I worked there as a secretary to the base commander, and I stayed in that job for 25 years.
My goodness.
Until I retired in 1980, May 3rd, 1980, just 5 years ago.
Mm.
And of course, my husband died in 1978.
Mm-hmm. Was he able to do any farming?
He also worked at the Naval Air Development Center, but
oh,
of course, his health was so poor that he really, you know, many times he was out of work more than he was at work.
Mm-hmm. And then you had Vince and John.
No, Joe.
I mean Joe and Vince and
Pat.
Pat, mm-hmm. I see. And then when your husband died, you and your former brother-in-law were married. And
yes.
Scott.
Well, after Vince died, my children were all married.
Mm-hmm.
Now I stayed at the house, and somehow or another, his brother was without a wife, and he came in on the scene,
mm-hmm.
and we were married in 1980, the same year I retired.
Very nice. That's a nice romance.
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. He reminded me so much of his brother. Very
really?
Much. Oh, very much.
Very handsome man.
He's very good to me.
Mm-hmm. I know he is.
And of course, my children all love him, and the grandchildren love him. So it's sometimes I think it's like a fairy tale.
Well, it was meant to be.
Yeah.
You can just see how much affection and you can just see how close this whole family is. Of course, so much of your life has been with actually carried on in your relationship with the city of New Hope, or rather the village of New Hope, excuse me, and your relationship with St. Martin's. Did you go into New Hope very much, or was it just simply one day a week to go to church or to market or what?
No, I went to school in New Hope, and of course we went to church in New Hope.
Mm-hmm.
Shopping, we went to Doylestown.
I see.
So we really didn't go into New Hope that much.
What was Main Street like? Was there an A&P down there to shop in, or was it
there was an Acme store? There was an Acme in New Hope.
Oh, I see.
That's going a few years back where the Four Seasons are.
Mm-hmm.
In that area there was an Acme, and there was a car agency.
Mm, I see. Oh, there was a car agency?
Mm-hmm. A Chevrolet car agency.
My goodness.
In that section where the Four Seasons is located now.
How about that old, factory just outside of town? Was that working when you were around? Or
the paper mill?
Yeah, how long has that been out of?
Oh, that was the source of livelihood for New Hope for years.
Oh, then it was a functioning
thing
when you were younger.
Very much so.
How long has that been not operating?
Oh, I would say probably the last 15 years.
I see.
Yeah.
It's such an eyesore today, and that's such valuable property.
Yeah, but that was very, very active.
Mm-hmm. How about the canal life and the... Do you know anything about that, men that worked on the canal or anything like that? Did you ever observe any of that?
No.
Or has that been over with for too long?
I really wasn't familiar with
you
that.
Didn't know any of your friends, parents, or any who worked on the canal or anything? How about the fishing industry? Was it the town of New Hope? Was there a lot of fishing?
In the Delaware, they did do fishing. I can remember when we would watch them and bring in the fish. But that was many years ago. I can remember that when I was a small girl.
Did you ever remember going along the river for recreational purposes? You know, or did they picnic along the river or anything like that?
No, the most that I can remember as far as any kind of recreation, we used to ice skate on the canal.
Oh, really?
Oh, yes. And winters were more severe then, because once the canal froze, it stayed frozen during the duration of the winter.
Really?
And, youngsters used to go there and ice skate just about every night.
Did you? Is that where you skated?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes. It was very nice.
When you were, if we can go... if we can go just... go back a few years. I'd like to ask, was there such a thing as an old swimming hole? Any place to swim?
No, we used to swim in the Delaware.
Oh, you did?
Mm-hmm.
You did?
Yes, we did.
Oh my, was it shallow or was it deep? Wasn't it dangerous?
It was dangerous, but we did. That's where we went in our swimming. It was dangerous.
I always think of snakes in rivers. Weren't you always afraid of snakes?
Well, I think the areas where we went to swim, we went there often enough that the snakes probably disappeared. But I don't recall ever seeing snakes.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the time we'd go on the Jersey side because the beach along the river was nicer there.
Mm-hmm. And... for recreation then and dates when you were younger, did you ever go into Lambertville or did you mostly go into Doylestown?
We used to go bowling in Lambertville.
Did you?
They have bowling alleys.
Mm-hmm.
The most place of socializing was what is now called the Prelude.
Oh, yes.
It used to be called a Lotawana.
Oh, really?
A lot of Lana, and they always had dancing there.
Now, was that like a nightclub
or just
a place to dance?
It was a place to dance, and it was more for the younger crowd, and they had sodas and some snacks. But it was very nice, and it was very enjoyable.
Do you know who owned that place then?
No, I don't, but I know we used to go there a lot.
And it was perfectly all right in
those
days?
Very nice. Yes, it was. It was very nice.
It wasn't painted purple then?
No.
So, well, tell me about raising your family here in the New Hope area, raising them on the farm. Did they go to the same schools that you went to?
Yes, they did.
Except for the Happy Day School.
Yeah, they all went through the Solbury School, and then they went to New Hope, and they all graduated from New Hope.
And now your son, all your sons have gone and graduated from colleges, haven't they?
All three children have graduated from college.
Tell me about that.
Well, when Vince was in high school, he decided he wanted to be a professional baseball player. And he tried out for the Pittsburgh Pirates.
Mm-hmm.
and would have made it, except he was too short. He had a fast pitching arm, and everything was fine except for his height. So he always liked working with figures, and he majored in accounting and got his degree in accounting. And as soon as he got out of high school or college, he took a job at the Bucks County Community College, where he is today.
Now he has a rather impressive title today, doesn't he? Was his name controller?
Yeah, he runs the finances for the college, and from what I understand, he does a good job.
Very good. He must be very proud of it.
Yes.
And Joe has a good job too, doesn't
very
he?
Very good, yes.
Mm-hmm. Now tell me about Joe.
Well, Joe, he wasn't sure what he wanted to do outside of being a professional baseball player. He tried out for the Philadelphia Phillies.
Did he really?
And they really wanted him. But somehow or another, we convinced him that he should go on to college. So he did. And he always liked water from the time he was a youngster. So he decided to go into oceanography. And he started out in the University of Pittsburgh. Mm-hmm. And after he got there, he found out he could not get a degree in oceanography. So then he had to transfer to the University of Rhode Island.
Oh my.
And he went there for 3 years. He was only 1 year at University of Pittsburgh. Mm-hmm. And he got his degree in oceanography and mechanical engineering. And then he took a job working for the United States Navy in Johnsville, where I used to work. And he really enjoys it. He travels quite a bit. But I think he picked a good field. But after he was in college for 3 years, the Phillies got in touch with him again. And he went for tryouts. And they did really want him. But he had one more year of college. And he asked them if he could go finish his college. And they said no, but he would have to go with them then. And he decided to finish his college, and I think he made the right decision.
Oh, I'm glad.
Because the competition in baseball is just unreal.
Besides, by the time you're 40 years old, it's all over with.
Well, he once in a while he says, "See, Mom, I could have made a million." And then I'll say, "Well, yeah, but you never met your wife."
Yes, he has a lovely wife. Now tell me about Dory and the children. They're absolutely beautiful.
Who, my daughter Pat?
Yeah, Dory. Bo is married to Dormy.
Yes.
And they have two darling children, Julian and Kimberly.
Kimberly, right.
And now Vince is married to Mary Ann, and they have Terry and Chris and...
Sandy
and Debbie and John.
Very good.
And then Dormy is married.
No, my daughter Pat.
I'm sorry, Pat.
Yeah, she's married to Peter Babish from Lambertville.
Oh, okay.
And they have three children. They have Peter and Scott and Amy.
And this is what it's like, a whole generation of from the just. The hard days of the back in the 30s and the 40s when you were growing up in this area and had to get up at 4 in the morning. You raised your family. Now you have sons and a daughter who have college degrees and grandchildren who are going on to do things other than farming.
Oh,
I wonder
yes.
what's going to happen to this country. Who's going to feed us?
Sometimes I worry about that because when you look around, everything's being built up.
Right. It's scary, isn't it?
And right now in this area, there isn't very much farming.
No. That's true.
Because where your house is located here used to be all farmland.
Yes. We used to have such beautiful farms around here. I understand that there is the drawbridge mentality, and that is people want to move in and then draw the bridge and let no one else come in after they're in here because it's so beautiful.
Yes, it is beautiful.
And I can certainly sympathize with people who want to move in here because it is beautiful.
I miss it.
That's right. You live in Bluebell?
Bluebell. Yeah. I live here for 55 years.
Oh my.
And it wasn't really easy for me to pack up and go.
Mm-hmm.
And I still miss it. I'm glad to come back to it.
And now there are all kinds of big family doings down there at the Klicka farm at Hidden Valley and Ranch. And I incidentally saw the Klicka group at the centennial party at St. Martin's centennial party at the fabulous Fountainhead that was held on the, what was that now? Was it the
27th?
The 27th of April. And you all looked absolutely beautiful. You were so gorgeous, every single one of you. And I think it would have been, you know, you should have been very, very proud of your group that night.
I was very happy to be there, particularly I have a lot of attachments to that church.
Yes, I know you do.
I was married there.
Mm-hmm.
My children were all married there.
Mm-hmm.
And my children were all baptized there. My grandchildren were all baptized there. And of course, my parents attended that church from 1918 until they passed away. And of course, they're buried there. My husband's buried there.
Oh, right, in the cemetery next
yes.
to St. Martin's Cemetery.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
You must have seen changes then in the leadership there and the pastor.
Oh, yes. Back in 1960, the basement of the church was all dirt.
I see.
That was all dirt under there. Nothing, there was no floor. It was really in the rough.
Mm-hmm.
The rectory at that time was remodeled because the rectory is in pretty bad shape. And there was a lot done to the church. We used to have wooden floors, and then the tile was put down. My husband spent many, many days there working on the church.
Mm.
He was very handy that way. He helped to lay the tile floor, and he helped working out in the basement, digging out the basement and concreting the basement. So they made a lot of improvements there.
And that's just since 1960?
1960, it started when Father Bolton came. Because
mm-hmm.
it was in pretty bad condition.
And then how long was it Father Bolton?
Father Bolton.
And how long was he here?
Was here, I guess, about 9 or 10 years, and then he was transferred to North Wales. He got a bigger parish.
I see. And then Father Carey came?
No, I think, I don't know whether Father Carey came right after him or there was another priest. I think there was another
mm-hmm.
priest in there.
I see. So you've really been a member of St. Martin's all your life?
All my life.
Were you christened there? No, that's right. You were in Philadelphia.
Yes, weren't you? I was baptized in Philadelphia.
How about that? Well, I think we're about to turn over here now, Millie. I think we're at the end of this tape, and I thank you so much for answering all these questions for me. I'm going to check and see just how far we are here. Yes, I think we're right at the end, and I thank you so much. Is there anything that you'd like to add before we finish tonight? Can you think of something that you'd like to add that about New Hope in particular that I haven't asked you?
Well, I'll tell you, New Hope is really on the map. You can go anywhere as far as New Hampshire and mention New Hope, Pennsylvania, and people have heard about it. So New Hope is very well known. And it's amazing, but you know, you mentioned New Hope, and I said, gee, you know, we know about that. We know where it is. It's amazing how many people do know about New Hope. Because it is a quaint town. It is different.
Well, it's not only different, it has such a very long history.
Oh, yes.
And ever since the first settler pulled a canoe up on our shores, I think it's been over 300 years now. I think we celebrated a tricentennial or a triennial or whatever
mm-hmm.
it's called
yeah.
in 1983.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So we're 302 years old now. So it has been a long time, and we're really very anxious to keep a record of the people who lived here and the kind of special people that made this such a wonderful place.
Mm-hmm.
And
well, it certainly have been many changes.
It's a
place.
It's a slice of Americana that we just simply don't want to lose.
Sure.
And I really.